My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I feel obliged to share what we have found with the public. The following might seem crazy to most, but that is what we found. You may be wondering who I am. My name is Chris Mayer. I'm a qualified geologist, though my job is to map the ocean floor. How I got into my current position is a long story in and of itself, so I will not waste time on that. Up until 2018, I did just that. Go to the oceans of the world and map the sea floor. At the beginning of that year, I returned from a voyage in the South Atlantic. I was ready to finally spend some time with my family. But then, not even a week since I came back home, I got a knock on my door. Two men dressed in black suits and black ties to boot greeted me at my door. They said they worked with the CIA, and I was a man with a skill set that they needed. I, of course, didn't want anything to do with that. I wanted to rest and spend some time with my family. Then they showed me the check I would receive if I accepted their offer. $250,000 up front, and then for every day I spent on the project, I will get $1,000 more. That piqued my interest. You can guess my answer from then on. Fast forward a few months, and I found myself on an abandoned oil rig in the North Pacific Ocean. I can understand why they would want me as a seafloor mapper, but they wanted me for me as a geologist. They stated they found me adequate because I was used to being on the sea for extended periods of time, and this project of theirs needed some experience with seafaring life, I guess. Anyway, that oil rig was refitted with all kinds of modern gadgets and machinery. Most curious of all, a massive drill. I mean, that drill extended at least 200 feet into the air, and God knows how wide it was. Not to mention, it went all the way to the seafloor, and then into the earth itself. The machine was not active. I can only imagine the sound of it. Me and some others who came to the rig were shown to our rooms. We were not told for how long we'd be there, but we're here for the long run. As we came there late at night, we were told to rest up and that tomorrow we'll be briefed. We all proceeded to go to our bunks and have a good night's rest. As we would find out later on, that will be a luxury. The next morning, we were woken up. It was about 5 a.m. Though all of us were a bit drowsy still, we dressed and made our way to the room where we'd be briefed. After we entered the small room and sat on the chairs provided for us, we were greeted by an older man who was in his 50s probably. He was in a military uniform, adorned with so many medals that if we were outside while it was sunny, his medals would have probably blinded us. He cleared his throat and spoke. "Good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Captain Alexander Dawson. I'm the one supervising this operation," he greeted us. "Firstly, let me make sure all of you are here." He stared as he reached into an interior pocket of his well-decorated uniform, revealing a folded piece of paper. He started listing off names and professions from the piece of paper. We had to raise our hand when he said our name and profession. It was as if we were back in school. In there, he listed engineers, a couple of marine biologists, and other professions in various fields of science. The most surprising was the presence of a linguistic expert. "Why would they need a linguist here?" I asked myself. I was the last one listed. After he listed all of us and confirmed all were present, he continued, "Some of you may have noticed the large machine located in the center of the rig. That, ladies and gents, is a drill. We are part of a government project to discover what lays below our feet. We are drilling deep beneath the surface of the Earth. Our mission is to gather more knowledge about our planet in order to further humanity's collective knowledge." He smiled, then asked, "Any questions?" There was a short silence before an older man, I would wager even older than the man briefing us, with glasses, long messy grey hair and a moustache, raised his hand. "Yes, you are. Professor Carl Madison, the linguist. I have two questions. First, why is it not simply a drill on land? It would seem more practical, at least for me. Second is, why do you need a linguist expert at a digging operation?" When Carl finished, Mr. Dawson gave him an unamused look. He wasn't expecting any questions at all, apparently. "First," Dawson started, "that's classified. Second, I didn't make this list, so I can't answer that question, linguist," he said, with a pinch of irritation in his voice. "Now, I'll brief you on your jobs." He told us what we had to know. In short, the engineers were needed on maintenance and extensions, meaning when the drill gets to a certain depth, the drill is extended on the surface so we can continue drilling down. The marine biologists were primarily tasked with keeping an eye on the marine life that could interfere with the operation. I don't know any sharks that can take a large enough bite to damage a drill, so I couldn't figure that one out. Me, being the only geologist, was tasked with searching for any anomalies that the pumps spit out, in the words of the captain. The linguist was told to, quote, "stand by." After that, we began working. An hour after the briefing, the drill roared to life. The sound could be described as a deep rumble. The entire rig shook as it came to life. It was a sight to see when the thing started rotating. It took a full 10 minutes for the debris to be pummeled to the surface. We already dug quite deep, about 4 miles. The first week was uneventful. Other than all of us commenting on the cold and crappy weather, things were mundane. I met a couple of people, but I was talking with Carl the most, as he and I had the least work to do. I remember one conversation I had with him. He told me, "Say, Chris, do you think there is an ulterior motive to all this? Maybe there's something deep below us that we are unaware of." I remember he was skeptical of something. I didn't pay much attention. I knew every day I spent here is a bonus $1,000. It wasn't until 3 months later that something happened. We dug about 68 miles below. By my knowledge, we had only a little more to go until we breached the crust and started digging the asthenosphere. Then, the pumps started spewing red. At first, I thought it might be magma, but that was impossible. A bunch of shouting and panic led to the drill being shut down. I quickly made my way down. I saw some of the red liquid spilled on a platform. One of the engineers covered his nose and picked up one of the chunks. He then exclaimed, "Jesus," and dropped it to the floor. Once I got there, the smell was first to hit me. A putrid smell of iron and rot. "That's blood," someone said behind me. I couldn't agree more, and those chunks were chunks of meat. After that, we were ordered to start the drill once again. That was a mistake. Once the drill started up, the waves started getting bigger. An earthquake, and its epicenter was right beneath us. There was a slight vibration caused by the drill on the rig, but the earthquake was strong enough to be felt on the rig. A constant tremor that lasted for an hour and a half. Then, when it stopped, there were a few moments of peace. It was followed by a strong tremor that dropped me on the floor. The others managed to catch themselves on the guardrails. The drill had an emergency shutdown. When inspected, the drill had been damaged, and it would take a few days for the repairs. Meanwhile, I was trying to find Carl, but to no avail. I didn't even find him in the evening. I went to sleep that night in fear. The next morning, I found some papers on a nightstand next to my bed. When I inspected them, I also saw a sticky note on the first paper, and it said, "I found this in the captain's office. Read it. Signed CM." The only person I knew with those initials was Carl. When I opened the document, I saw it said classified in big bold letters. I quickly hid them under my bed and went to work analysing any new findings. I did ask the captain where Carl was. He simply said that he couldn't work here anymore due to sickness, so they are finding a replacement. That evening, I read those documents. I'll give you the gist of them. In the late 40s, just after World War II, the US government had a similar operation as we are doing right now. The location was Antarctica. They wanted to establish a large base of operation somewhere isolated to drill as deep as they can. The name of the operation was the Deep Drill Experiment, or simply DDE. They began as we did, nothing of particular interest. Then they hit the same point of pumping out gore instead of rock. But unlike us, they just continued. They had a string of earthquakes hit the base, but didn't stop them either. If the drill broke, they quickly repaired it and continued. At one point, they received a radio message originating from within the earth. It simply said, "Stop." They didn't stop. And shortly after, the mainland lost contact with the base. In 1947, the US Navy sent a large fleet to investigate what happened. 5,000 personnel with multiple aircraft and military ships. There were multiple casualties from an unknown assailant. The operation's name was High Jump. Those were not the Germans in New Schwabenland, but rather something else entirely. The document itself didn't comment on the attackers, so I can't tell you much. As for the blood we pumped from the earth, well, the research from the base survived. Most of it, at least. They found that under the earth, there is either an absolutely massive creature, or the earth itself is a biological entity. There was mention of Jormungand and the Hollow Earth. They said that there is a subterranean civilization beneath our feet. Jormungand is a mythological serpent in Norse mythology, and they refer to the fleshy bit of earth as Jormungand. If it weren't an official classified government report, I would have read this thinking it was some conspiracy theory. That was basically the end of the report. I threw it into the ocean after that, as not to arouse suspicion or incriminate myself if they found out I had it. The next morning, I saw one of the guys tasked with communications smoking on the top platform. I approached him and wanted to start small talk in order to get my mind off the document. After some conversing, he said to me, "Listen, Chris, I shouldn't be telling you this. Yesterday, we got a message, and I can't explain how it's possible. But yeah, it's from inside the earth. That's where it came from." My heart skipped a beat upon hearing that. "What did it say?" I asked. "This is your final warning. Do not disturb him." After hearing that, I told him not to tell anyone he told me. He agreed. I managed to get off of the rig the day the drill went operational once again. I said to the captain that my health was in bad state and that I should go home. After some back and forth, he said yes. But I had to pledge that I would not say a word of what I witnessed here. I am writing this to you from my home. The world must know the truth. We are not alone, but our neighbours seem to not be from above, but from below. And they are not happy with us, for we have disturbed a sleeping titan.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion.
Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen.
Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.